and welcome to the Multimedia Man Podcast number 10.
Nice.
Spicy. I'm Ryan Kluger. I'm with Adam Conway.
Yo, what's up?
Mark Walters.
Hey, how you doing?
Andrew Conway.
That's right.
And the handsome Gotti Elcon.
Why is he always handsome?
Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
So that implies the rest of us look ugly.
Great to be here.
That's the point.
It's a good point.
Have an A one day.
There's a big comic book media convention coming up in Dallas October 4th through 6th at the Irving Convention Center called Fan Days.
You don't say.
You might have heard about it.
Hopefully you've heard about it.
And our special guest this week is Mark Walters, one of the guys who heads up the entire convention. He's going to talk about all sorts of cool stuff that he has in store for the convention. Any cool guests coming?
No.
Uh-huh. No, not at all.
Define cool.
Define cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really great mix of, you know, we just got done talking about a bunch of comic books and stuff. And we've got some really cool comic guys coming in. I mean, I guess I'll kind of start there. We've got Neil Adams.
I like him. He was at the last convention, or a couple conventions.
He was at we did one about a year ago that he came to.
Yeah.
It's been a little over a year since we've had him. But he's one of those guests that, like, anytime you can get him,
yeah,
you know, it's always a smart idea to get him. Herb Trimpe, speaking of Wolverine, one of the co-creators of Wolverine, Herb Trimpe will be out there, who also did the G.I. Joe comics for Marvel, which were some of my favorite, you know, those
definitely
comic books. Michael Golden, Kelly Jones, who did Bane breaking Batman's back, which, God, I used to love Kelly Jones' Batman cover.
If only Nolan had read that.
Wow. You just can't stop. Just have to find every opportunity to hate The Dark Knight Rises, right?
Made the
bitter for one.
It made it look stupid. I'm sorry.
Bitter for one.
That one page is beautiful, and it created some stupid dark crap. Go ahead.
Kerry Nord, who's been killing it on Conan and Exo Man of War. Joseph Michael Linsner, who created Dawn. Bernie Wrightson, who co-created Swamp Thing.
Yeah.
Steve Niles, who's always one of our favorites.
I always like Steve Niles. He's such a nicest guy.
Really nice guy.
To talk to.
Really nice guy. Yeah, he's always
loves vampires.
Loves vampires, yes he does.
And I would have said 30 Days of Night, but there's already been one.
With Josh Hartnett.
It's not that bad of a movie.
The vampires look cool.
Yeah, the vampires did look cool.
They're doing the second one's coming up?
Well, they did a sequel that was a direct
video. And like a
TV
show also, or a web series.
They did a web series, yeah. And I don't know if they're ever going to do a theatrical sequel or not. That's weird. I remember talking to Steve about that and asking him, I'm like, because the first one made a lot of money. And I'm like, why wouldn't they just go ahead and make a sequel? And he's like, well, it's, you know, there's a lot of politics and stuff involved. And so it's never just as easy as, oh, this one was successful, well, let's just make a sequel to it.
I really like his Colonel Macabre series, too.
He's actually trying to get that made, like Cal McDonald, you know, to make that into a movie. In fact, for the longest time, they were saying that Thomas Jane would have been a great Cal McDonald. That's who they really wanted for it. So.
Be kind of cool.
Yeah.
And then on the media side of things, we've got Ron Perlman, who, of course, is known for Hellboy and Sons of Anarchy. That's right.
He was the
best part.
Yeah. He was the best character since Bruce Campbell in Army of Darkness. Hannibal Chow, man. He was so amazing in that.
That's a bold statement.
He was also Beast on the TV show
Beauty and the Beast.
All Beauty and the Beast questions for Ron Perlman.
The aforementioned Torchwood, which I very jokingly said nobody ever watched. Of course,
liar.
It's got a large fan base. John Barrowman, star of that's going to be there. And for all you Doctor Who fans, you know, you may remember him from that as well.
He's great in Doctor Who.
Yeah, he's terrific. He's on Arrow now. He's the Dark Archer.
Was
on Arrow. Or a spoiler.
Oh, you spoiled it.
Thanks a lot, Ash!
Did you spoil it? What the hell?
No, he's not telling the truth.
Tom Felton, who played Draco and all the Harry
Potter. I'm excited for that. Yeah. Is he flying in from England?
Is he as well?
Or is he
I think he's actually in the States right now shooting some films. He's got like
tie.
He's got a lot of...
Are you going to get him to sign and get him to the Greek...
He's got a lot of like films lined up. That guy's... I think he just did a movie with Elizabeth Olsen, and like he's got a lot of stuff coming out.
Well, that's right. He was in that movie I didn't like.
It's called Cerise, I think.
Harry Potter?
No, the Apparition.
Harry Potter 8. Oh, yeah.
I did not like that movie.
Well, you know, that movie actually sat on the shelf for like 3 years.
Yeah, that's right.
So, yeah. And then for all you Walking Dead fans, Stephen Yeun is coming in.
Oh, that's cool.
Or actually, I believe it's pronounced Yun. but somebody told me it was Young.
Okay.
I don't know. Everybody mispronounces
it. Is that Glenn?
I've heard people say Stephen Nguyen, and I'm like, how do you get that from Y? Well, you know, like the beginning.
It's a hard Y.
It's the Y, but the N is pronounced. One of the ones I'm most excited about, Robert Patrick, who is he's one of my favorite like character actors. I mean, this is a guy that really
should be bigger
than he is. You know? But yeah, because
he
was in Lovelace. He wasn't happy.
Yeah, he was in Lovelace.
He was the villain in Double Dragon.
Katie Sackhoff. Who was just in Riddick.
I love Katie Sackhoff. Terrific. Starbuck, man.
They're actually proposing that she be Miss Marvel.
Which is a really good casting choice.
And then, you know, for like all you Smallville fans, Michael Rosenbaum, who played Lex Luthor.
Michael Rosenbaum.
Good actor.
Funny guy. Do you think he'll announce that he'll be Lex Luthor?
Story Girls is great.
Man of Steel 2?
Funny guy.
No, I don't think so. I don't think they'd ever go that direction. But John.
Would he be Lex Luthor in the new Superman movie?
Who? Michael Rosenbaum?
That's what I just said.
I'm sure he would love to do that.
Well, I don't know. He really hated shaving his head.
John Heder, Napoleon Dynamite.
That would be sweet.
Tina, come get some ham. And then for you Walking Dead fans, we have two Walking Dead guests. We've got Giancarlo Esposito, who played Gus. Of course, he's terrific on that.
Breaking Bad.
And now, sorry. I was still thinking of Steven.
Pretty much the same show.
Yeah. Breaking Bad. Giancarlo Esposito, who of course played Gus Spring on Breaking Bad, is terrific. And he's now on Revolution. Charles Baker, who is actually from here, who plays Skinny Pete.
He's from Dallas?
He's from Fort Worth. Yeah. But he's
Dallas adjacent.
And he's got
he's been back a few times.
And I've heard that he's like the nicest, most clean cut guy. He played like the piano in that one episode of Breaking Bad. He really played. That's what I heard.
Yeah, he was also in He was also in To the Wonder, that Terrence Malick film, and he was in Ain't Them Body Saints.
Yeah.
And he's on The Blacklist now, apparently.
I haven't seen The Blacklist.
Yeah, I haven't watched it either. But,
I'm excited for Giancarlo, man. I remember the first time I saw him was in a movie called Fresh with Sam Jackson.
Yeah. The little kid.
Yeah, he was like, he was the other drug dealer, the Cuban drug dealer. He was awesome.
Why's it got to be a little kid, Gotti?
The little kid's a drug dealer.
I just saw a squirrel like jump off your fence and face plant onto the rung below it. It was really, really funny. I'm sorry. And then the last one I'll mention, because there's tons of guests, and you can find all the information on fandays.com. But we've got Shelley Duvall coming in for her very first season.
Shitting.
So
the Shining man of olive oil, Popeye.
That's right.
She was olive oil.
She was the perfect cast choice.
You know what's interesting about that? They didn't want her. The studio wanted Gilda Radner at the time. Wow. And who is short, is not necessarily like super skinny, or at least at the time wasn't. And I mean, it's like, you know, you look at Shelley Duvall and you think that is olive oil.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whereas you look at Gilda Radner, you're like, why would you want? I don't get that. Like, I mean, even though, I mean, she was a hot name at the time, I guess, but. Yeah, I mean, Shelley Duvall was the obvious choice.
And that was, is that Ingmar Bergman movie?
No, it's Robert Altman.
Popeye was done by Ingmar Bergman.
Got it mixed up. Ingmar
Bergman's Popeye.
It's black and white.
What a badass movie.
I want to see that movie.
Actually, that's probably the biggest, the one thing that movie really has going against it is
Robert Altman.
The worst possible choice for director for that movie.
Robin Williams. Well, it was like a Popeye cocaine house. Such a weird
wasn't Burt Meredith Papa?
No,
Papa
it was Ray Wilson.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Who was?
Pappy. Ray Walson.
Ray Walson was Pappy.
Yeah. That's right. Who played Brutus?
It was Bluto? A guy.
Was Bluto? Yeah, Bluto.
Actually, I think it was
Bluto
Bruce.
Or
was
Wimpy. Who played Wimpy?
I can't remember who played
Wimpy. Wimpy was.
Sweet Pea.
Oh, man, I'm totally.
Tuesday.
Paul Dooley.
But what is Shelley?
The guy that played Brutus or Bluto was. He was a guy that you probably wouldn't know him by name, but he had done a couple different things back then. Like, he was in the Coen Brothers.
I feel like he was a pirate.
Movie Crime Wave.
Wasn't he in Adventures of Baron Munchausen also? As like one of the gods?
Maybe. Yeah.
Underrated.
It's a good soundtrack, too.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, Popeye's a really interesting, like, kind of train wreck of a movie.
So I'm curious, because I've been to the cons before. It's like, are going to younger generation know who Shelley Duvall is? Because she hasn't done a lot. Like, she did The Shining. She did that HBO series for children.
Yeah, I think that The Shining, obviously, that's is the big selling point for the horror fans and everything. I mean, because, I mean, look, you're never going to get Jack Nicholson, obviously. But, you know, the image of Shelley Duvall that iconic image of her with the axe coming through the door, yeah, and everything. I mean, everybody knows that image. That's like one of the most iconic images in horror. And, you know, I think because The Shining has such a strong cult following that people will come out, you know,
yeah,
even if just for that. But actually, we have had a lot of people bring up Popeye and say, you know, how much they loved her in Popeye. And so, you know,
I would love to see, because I remember Stanley Kubrick's daughter made that documentary on The Shining. Mm-hmm. And supposedly for 5 years, Stanley Kubrick gave hell to Shelley Duvall.
They clashed.
Like, he yelled, yeah, at her. That's all I'm seeing. Like, it was crazy.
Well, because that was a classic example of, you know, an actress that did not understand a director's shooting style.
Yeah.
Because Kubrick was well known for, you know, he would do like 100 takes of a scene. And I think Nicholson was just kind of like, yeah, well, you know, whatever it takes.
I'm on camera.
Yeah, it's like,
come on, it's me.
But Shelley Duvall, I think, you know, her, because she was used to doing things a certain way, that she was like, why are we having to do this 100 times? It doesn't make any sense. And so, you know, she basically was the one that spoke up and said, this doesn't, you know, this is silly. Why are we shooting one take 100 times? So I think that was really where the clashing came from. But, you know, Kubrick was a weird duck, man. I mean, that guy was... You know, as brilliant as he was as a filmmaker, he was a very strange man. And, you know. So
but smart man.
But Shelley Duvall's going to be at Fan Days.
But yeah, Shelley Duvall's going to be at Fan Days. So,
sweet.
And you can find all that information at fandays.com.
So what is what are the do's and don'ts of attending a con as a fan?
Well, Brian, I'm glad you asked that question. the do's and don'ts. I would
down,
say.
Gotti. Write it down, Gotti.
The number one do that I always suggest to people, and it amazes me, because I know we get a lot of new people that maybe have never been to one of these things before, but it amazes me how people don't really study up and do their homework. Like, you know, we have forums that you can go into where you can ask questions. We have a Facebook page where you can ask questions. You know, we have all these different places where you can go and, you know, get your questions answered. There's plenty of opportunities for you to find that information beforehand. And yet there will still be people that will show up that will, you know, want to ask a million questions, which we, you know, when the show's going on, we don't have time to answer a million
questions.
Like,
what kind of questions?
Well, you know, just asking, like, where is this person located, or where do I go for this? You know, there's a map on the website. There's, you know, we actually give out program books at the show. You know, everybody that walks in gets a program book. And in that program book, there's a map of the entire convention center. I actually had a guy come up to me at one of the conventions, like, I think about a year ago, and he was holding in his hand the map, and he goes, where do I find this person, this person, this person? And I started to answer him, and then I said, you do realize that you're holding a map in your hand that shows you where all these people are, and he just kind of goes, well, can you just tell me? And I'm like, what is wrong with people? Why does nobody wants to read anything anymore?
People hate,
you know?
Are there any inappropriate patience. Questions to ask a celebrity or an artist or writer there?
Oh, are
well,
there,
I would say,
how do you become you?
What kind of car do you drive?
Who are you again?
I would say that when it comes to stuff like that, that, you know, just use common sense. Like I had one guy tell me, he said something like, maybe I should go up, because we had Yoan Griffith, who was Mr. Fantastic and Fantastic Four. He was at our last show. And I had a guy say something to me in one of the forums. He goes, maybe I'll go up to him and tell him how disappointed I was in the Fantastic Four movie. And I'm like, yeah, that's a good start. You know, I mean, would you really want to do that? And like, why would you go up and tell somebody, you know, hey, I really hated that movie you were in.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, how's that going to serve you, you know, if you're meeting a celebrity? So I would just say use common sense. I mean,
yeah,
you know, and the other thing is to keep in mind that, you know, celebrities are just people like everybody else. I mean, you know, they put their shoes on one at a time. And, you know, when at the end of the day, they just happen to be a little more famous than you, but they're still people. So, you know, when you talk to them, try to talk to them like you would talk to a normal person. You know, and it's okay to praise their work, but I think that, you know, my stance on that has always been, and this applies to everything that we do too, like when we meet and interview celebrities, you know, the second that you go up to them and just say, oh my God, I love your work, oh my God, you're just that guy. You're that,
yeah,
same person that, like, they see a million times a day. Whereas if you talk to them, like, really talk to them on a normal level, I think they'll appreciate that more. So,
what's the best part of working the convention and the worst part?
Oh God, the best part I think is being able to kind of meet my heroes,
mm-hmm,
and I mean that not just as celebrity heroes, but like comic book heroes. But you know, there was like a really funny moment that happened. I think where we had Gil Gerard, who played Buck Rogers, and we've had so many like big name, like huge name celebrities at the show.
William Shatner.
But there was something. About when Gil Gerard showed up. We were chatting with him, and he like shook my hand and was like saying, "Hey, I'm really glad to be here." And I was like standing there thinking to myself, "I'm like, yeah, I watched every episode of Buck Rogers as a kid like 5 times in a row. This is really cool. Like standing here with the guy that played Buck Rogers." And so, I mean, I still have kind of that fan in me. You know, there's still those moments where, like, I'm like, wow, this is really neat to be here in this moment. Or, like, you know, having people like Neil Adams or something where it's like, God, I read so many of your books. I loved your artwork. It's great to have the opportunity to be able to bring those guys here, you know, in my hometown and be able to say, you know, we assembled all these people together in one place at one time. You know, it's a tremendous accomplishment. And you know, for me, honestly, like, the biggest reward I get is when somebody comes up and really seems genuinely thankful or grateful that we do this, because it makes you kind of feel like it's all worth it. Like, you know, obviously these people are happy. It gives us a reason to want to keep going and keep doing better every time. And then you were asking me earlier the do's and don'ts. The don'ts, I would say, is don't come with your credit card and expect to hit the ATM for everything, because you're going to spend half the show waiting in line for the ATM.
So I remember
bring cash.
Do most people have access to a credit card machine there, or is that an extra payment for the
business? There are ATMs on site. Huh. We actually bring in extra ATMs a lot of the time, just so that there will be more on hand. But the problem is that there are so many people that don't bring cash that, you know, you may say, oh, here's something I want. I'll just go hit the ATM and I'll be right back and grab it. And that could be an hour.
Yeah.
You know, and when you're talking about a show where there's, you know, 8 hours in the day or even less in some days, you know, an hour out of your day is a lot of time. So don't put yourself in that situation. Just bring some cash with you, you know, keep it in a fanny pack or something secure or whatever. It just amazes me how many people don't.
And you could probably haggle better with cash with all these vendors here.
Sure, absolutely. You know, that's another key to it, is that if you're paying with a credit card, it's a lot harder to haggle.
That's true. That's true. I had a booth at a Wizard World, the last Wizard World they had in Dallas, before they went under, and we had a credit card machine, and most people use cash, so we didn't really need a credit card machine. But cash is awesome, and hit up all the vendors someday.
Can you talk about being at the convention center and the levels, and just having that big of a place that you get to kind of take over for, you know, a weekend?
Well, you know, it's interesting because we used to do shows at the Richardson Civic Center and the Plano Center, both of which are one level facilities. So, like, you know, there's just one big giant level, you know, on the bottom. There's no second level or anything. When we moved to Irving is actually 4 levels. You know, it's 4 stories. The second story is a cafe, but still it's 4 stories. And that was, I remember it was initially really daunting because we were kind of walking around the center and we were like, man, this is really big. You know, like, can we really fill this up? And within our first year, we went from having an average attendance of about 5,000 people to having 20,000 people at a show. And, you know, we have no problems filling the center up. In fact, if anything, I think the center is sometimes overwhelmed with what we do, because all the other events they do throughout the year, nothing is as big as what we do. They typically will have something like Zest Fest, which is like, you know, a bunch of people get together with like food, you know, spices and stuff like that. So, you know, and that's like a 500 person event, you know, whereas we're doing a show that brings in 20,000 people. So it's been a learning process, I think, for them and for us. And I would say it is a little bit daunting, but, you know, we have a really great crew of volunteers. We have like over 200 volunteers. Our volunteer coordinator, Tracy, does a great job of kind of wrangling all of them together.
Do they get cool swag for doing volunteering?
Yeah, they get some cool stuff. We hook them up with cool stuff. And you know, but it was one of those things that I think myself and Ben Stevens, because we're like the two guys that pretty much run the whole thing, we had to really kind of tell ourselves, like, we can't be everywhere at once. You know, you had to, and that was tough, because being at Plano and Richardson, it was easy to be everywhere at once. You know, if you had to get from one side to the other, that was no big deal. Whereas here, it's like, we may be on the first floor and there's something going on the fourth floor that needs to get taken care of. So we'll just radio somebody that's up there and we'll get it taken care of. So it's all about the, you know, having a good crew of people and having people you can trust and rely on to run it.
Have you thought about moving it to the Dallas Convention Center in downtown?
Yeah, absolutely. We've looked at several different places because that has been one of the problems we've had. You know, as much as we love the Irving Center and as great as those guys have been to us, it's very obvious that we've outgrown it already. We've only been there 2 years and we've outgrown it. So we've been looking at possibilities for you know, maybe moving it. The problem is that when you move into any large convention center, it's never as easy as just saying, well, why don't you just move it to this place? Because any place that you move into, you have to sign like a 3-year contract.
Okay.
So we're locked in there no matter what for, you know, a good portion of time. But we are exploring, especially for our May show, because May show is the biggest show of the year. And
that's Comic-Con, right?
That's Dallas Comic-Con, yeah. And we are exploring possibilities for, you know, doing something different in May and really trying to take it to the next level. Because I think it could be, you know, I don't think we'll ever be like San Diego Comic-Con, but I think we'll be, you know, we've already sort of become a destination spot for a lot of people, and I think that we can make it even bigger.
Is there anything new this year that you're doing, as opposed to last year?
Or Fan Days?
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, we have a Saturday night after party, which is at Champs in Las Colinas. That's
okay.
The first time we've ever done that.
Stop.
We have a dog. the after party is something people have been asking for a long time. Like, everybody was always like, what do we do after the show? And so our buddy Devin Pike, who does a lot of our panels and stuff, he put together this really great Saturday night party. So that's, like, if that's a first time
thing. Now, is that just for the employees of the convention? Is that for anybody?
No, that's for everybody. Anybody can
fans,
go to
fans, anything?
Anybody can go to it. It's free to go to. You know, I mean, you pay for your drinks and stuff, obviously, but it's free to go to, and they're going to do like trivia and prizes and things like that. They may even have like a live art show.
Oh, fun.
So I'll probably not be there because I'll probably be too tired or I'll still be stuck at the convention center. But so that's a first time thing we're doing. And then, you know, there's always a lot of cool Q&As and things that are going on all weekend. We started doing something within the last year that I'd come up with this concept of, based on going to a lot of the red carpet premieres and things that we go to, I decided to do what I call the cosplay carpet, which
okay.
is we have a red carpet that's specifically for cosplayers so that
get their picture
we
taken.
We can have set times of the day where the press will line up on the carpet and they can walk the cosplay carpet. And it's like being on a red carpet for a premiere, you know, and it's really cool. And it's something that I think the cosplayers really get into because that's hot right now. I mean, that
yeah.
honest to God, like. Every convention
so
we do, like
it's
when the press, like when the Dallas Observer or Dallas Morning News, all the photos that they take and all the stuff that gets printed afterwards, it's always the
costume. So what are some of the best and worst costumes you've seen over the years?
The one that always impresses me is there's a guy that dressed as the alien from Aliens.
Yeah.
And it's a really impressive suit. There's one guy that's done some really amazing stuff that the last show... He came as Johnny Five from Short Circus.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah. Oh,
it
I've never seen
that.
Yeah.
An absolutely incredible costume.
He's in General Grievous.
Wasn't
Grievous
he?
Too.
General Grievous. Oh, yeah.
He did General Grievous also.
Wasn't
yeah.
he also a Velociraptor?
I think he might have. And he makes all of his own costumes.
Yeah.
So he must fit several thousand on each costume.
Well, but he makes them really cheap. He actually makes them out of very cheap material. So, like, the Johnny Five costume is one of those costumes that I'm sure if you got up close and started inspecting what it was made of,
it would
kill the illusion a little bit, but it still it looks incredible. You know, I mean, when you see this guy walk in, you're like, wow, you win. You know, I mean, that's just unreal. So it's always fun to see what people will put together for costuming and things like that. And that's something I do hope becomes... more of a big deal for us because there are a lot of shows that are considered, you know, destination points for like the premier cosplayers.
Yeah, is that one of them? Akon here in Dallas?
Akon is it's almost a little too big for that. I mean, like it's a great show, but they have so many
take
people.
Over the Anatole.
They have so many cosplayers that I think sometimes you know like the star cosplayers might get lost in the mix there sometimes, but. Yeah, it's funny. I've been watching that show, Heroes of Cosplay, which is incredibly scripted. But anyway,
all reality is.
Yeah, I know. The reality shows are anything but reality.
Have you heard of any of those people in Heroes of Cosplay before?
I actually know some
the two
of those
girls
people.
That are the team from LA are actually in the Morgan Spurlock's comic.
Oh
yeah
Comic-Con an episode.
Well, and Ricky, who did the Betty Page Rocketeer, she's a good friend of mine. I know a few of those people, and they're great at what they do. But you know, it's funny because when you look at the shows that they attend, you know, they go to like MegaCon or Emerald City Comic Con and stuff like that. I would love for us to be like one of those destination points that, you know, all those guys really make it an effort to go to. So we are trying to ramp up the costume contest aspect. I mean, we got cash prizes. We got a lot of cool stuff going on for that.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to just get bigger and bigger.
So as far as like people looking for like certain comics, can one expect to find like Action Comics number one as well as, you know, Walking Dead number one or?
Well, I can tell you that the last couple of shows, we do have some key dealers in there that will have some great stuff. I mean, we've got one guy that literally has 14 tables of comic books. In fact, I think he did bring a couple of Walking Dead number ones to the last show. So yeah, you will see stuff like that. I don't know if you'd see an Action Comics number one. People don't realize how rare Action Comics number one is. There's like 50 copies in existence. You know, I mean, that book is like ridiculously rare. But, you know, the kind of books that you will see pop up from time to time will be like Amazing Fantasy 15 or
First
Amazing
Spider-Man
number one. Those are still pretty rare as far as comics go, which is kind of funny in a way. I don't even know if it's so much that they're rare, they're just in such high demand that it's just hard to find one. But, you know, but we've seen some really rare stuff. I mean, we've seen stuff come through that, you know, I mean, it never ceases to amaze me. You know, I'm assuming because these guys are constantly buying collections that, you know, they just have new books every show.
Awesome.
So, yeah, you'll see some cool stuff there.
Cool. Anything else you want to add? Anybody?
No, just, I mean, Fan Days is, you know, it's fandays.com. That's where you can find all the info. And like I said, I just really encourage people to, you know, study up, do their homework before they go. If you've never been to a convention before, ask questions. You know, I always tell people, don't ever go to a convention for one person. Because if that one person cancels, then you're going to be incredibly disappointed. Have an agenda when you go to a convention. If there's like five things you want to do, keep in mind you may only do three of those things because you may not have time for all five of them. So, you know, just tips like that. Those are the things. I mean, but have fun. You know, find a way to have fun with it.
Sweet.
There's plenty of fun things to do.
What's the biggest thing you're looking forward to?
Sunday at 5 o'clock.
No, when it's over.
When it's over and I can go home and go to sleep. No, I mean, for me, honestly, I'm actually going to be moderating Tom Felton's Q&A, which
cool.
will be fun.
Yeah.
And he's never done a Q&A with us. We had him once before and he never did a Q&A.
Great.
So this will be the fun time we've actually had a Q&A. And it'll be fun to be able to, you know, ask him all these Harry Potter questions.
Anybody's going to say 10 points for Slytherin?
Yeah,
that'll be somebody. Yeah, it'll be me.
I'm going to say nothing but Rise of the Planet of the Apes questions. That's all we're going to talk about during
Sweet.
This Q&A.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, thanks for coming on and talking about Fan Days coming up October 4th through 6th.
That's right. Irving Convention Center, fandays.com, and hope to see you guys there.
Sweet.